The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Would history have been changed if Kukoc missed that shot?
In what way?
Well, in that, you know, Scotty was pouting. Scotty sat on the bench for 1.8. Scotty was like, you disrespected me.
Oh, if they had lost that game?
If they had lost that game.
But they ended up, they beat the Knicks. They ended up losing the series anyway, though.
Yeah, but they didn't lose. They ended up losing the series. But even either way, if they lose that game, does Scotty have a better case than he does today?
No. You don't sit out.
Anyway.
No, but you don't sit out. No.
Yeah, but all he was going to do was inbound anyway.
He made his teammates cry.
Tony missed. Pardon me?
He made his teammates cry. They were so mad.
Oh. Well.
He quit. He literally quit on him because I'm not going in. No, history wouldn't remember. They remember him as being a bitch. That's how they remember him. You're sitting out when your team is trying to win in the playoffs against the Knicks? No. That was soft. It like Jordan said, you can never live that down.
Yeah.
And no, then Kukoc hitting it really made him look like a trick.
It really did. I mean, well, Scotty picked up some of Jordan. All right, you're going to do this? Watch me. Watch this. Watch what I'm going to do. Except Jordan does the opposite. He instead of sitting down and sitting out, Jordan goes, okay, I'm going to stick this right in a bad place.
Mm.
Right?
I don't get put in a bad place.
Well, if he was an Alabama fan and an LSU fan came up, what would happen?
I just don't like it.
Yeah, I don't.
Being put in a bad place.
What is the it? Is it a figure? Yeah. What's he putting in a bad place?
Are you going to put bad things in bad places that you don't want them?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Bad things in bad places. Well, that's just none of that sounds good.
That's what Mike does when you disrespect him.
Excuse me,
Scotty felt disrespected.
Mr. Jordan,
yes,
Mr. Jordan,
yes.
I was told you put bad things in bad places. What does that mean again?
Yeah. Oh, don't worry.
Excuse me, sir. Hey, MJ, can I have an autograph? Yeah, kid. What do you want to say? I put bad things in bad places. Yeah. Signed, Michael Jordan. What?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I want. I was told you do that, so can you put that on my ball? Okay.
Right then, thanks, I knew Mr. I had to, and I felt very disrespected when he asked me to say that. So I knew I had to dunk on that kid. So I had a goal rolled out from behind the kid, and Horace Grant, I made him get on his hands and knees, you know, the bridge move where you push a kid over the bridge player and he falls on the ground, you know that move? We did that to that little kid, and then I dunked on him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jordan teaches lessons like that.
Disrespect, and guess what happens?
Tough lessons.
That's what happens. You agree with Daryl Morey? Daryl Morey says...
Yes.
Oh, of course you do.
Oh, I didn't hear what... Oh, what were you going to say?
That was dumb of asking Thundersticks if he agrees with Daryl Morey.
No, a lot of times I don't agree with him.
Hey, he says this time, being a veteran team, This time will help us more than others. It might help the Lakers, too. I think the more veteran teams, they're going to have more professional guys during this period to keep themselves ready.
Yeah, I agree.
We're the oldest team, and time off can, in a relative sense, help more veterans and older teams. I agree with that.
Yeah, for sure. I think, and to that point, that's why Chris Paul is a dangerous player this year, because he's going to be healthy. His team's not good enough, I don't think. Do we think a basketball playoffs is going to happen? I actually believe it is going to. I think basketball is going to.
I think that they almost have to because of the money thing.
I think
and
they do, too.
Have to move. And you're going to move. I'm telling you, they're going to move. And if they were just smart, just move opening day of the basketball season to Christmas Day. You own Christmas Day. You make that the opening day. Now, they might want to do it before because they already own Christmas Day. They might want to own the opener. That would be another big game. They could do it a week before. But I really think that there is a chance that they move the entire NBA season to finish up in August, which is smart. I mean, it's...
How would you start the next season? I guess, okay, I see what you're saying. Just give them... Well, you can't start it in August because it would then have to run through like October.
December to August.
Yeah. Then you can't have the time between games like you have in the past.
No, yes, you can. It's just everything moves 2 months. That's all. Everything moves 2 months.
Is that it? But you still have to do draft?
Well, you just move the calendar.
No, the draft has to move then. Yeah.
No, the draft moves to where? October? College?
Well, wherever.
College is already starting.
You could do the draft in September.
Can you finish a season? If you start in August basketball, you can't. When are you finishing the season? It would just be just the playoffs?
You start in Christmas and end in August.
No. But for this year.
Well,
this year. I don't know.
July, maybe. July and end in, hopefully for them, maybe right, I don't know, mid-July.
Yeah,
hopefully
you
end right before September something before the season NFL season starts.
Definitely have if you have playoffs this year, you definitely have to move next season.
See, you have start when it's warm weather. All of the projection and the models, the concerns about a second wave of coronavirus, it coincides with fall weather or with cooler weather. You need to do this right now while it's warmer weather, just in case.
To me, either way, if you do play and you have no fans, and you play, let's say, in July, and you go a couple of months, and you try to finish up your 70-game season, and you try to get maybe reduced rounds or, five-game rounds in the playoffs to get done by September, you still have to move the season. And even if you don't play this year, you still have to move the season because you want to make sure that there are fans in the stands by the time you play next year. And by December, you probably are going to have a really, really good possibility of being of fans in the stands. Maybe not a full house, but you'll have fans in the stands. I mean, they're talking about a third in the NFL games. Now, this is inside, so it's a little bit different. It's better if it's outside. Well, there's a lot of indoor stadiums in the NFL, too.
What if you told somebody they had to wear a mask and they said, that's our freedoms? Are they allowed in the game?
No.
No.
Turn around and go home.
What if they have guns?
They
storm Energy Stadium saying, we stand with Bill.
No one's saying we stand with Bill.
What if there's a hashtag that says, we stand with Bill, and they storm Energy Stadium? But they have the see-through purses to be safe.
No one says we stand with Bill.
What about that? See-through purses.
See-through purses.
Because it's what you have to get in.
Right.
As far as the logistics of all this,
a Glock's in there.
You're mentioning the NBA calendar and the draft. So the draft this year is scheduled for June 25th. Now, I don't even know if you move it. You just treat it like you would the baseball draft. The baseball draft, doesn't it go on when the season's going on? It
goes on during the season.
So you would just have
What's the difference?
You just do it the same way. I know the season is going to August. You have the draft just like you would baseball.
But you could do it in September, too.
Yeah, it just depends.
You got 2 months to get ready for the season.
Either way.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And why are you competing in November and a lot of December with the NFL? It's just dumb. go up until the NFL season starts. Nobody cares about preseason football. So you go all the way until mid-August or so, before, right before the kids go back to school and your NBA finals, and your head's up against August Major League Baseball. I mean, it just makes too much sense.
Yeah, I think we can make that happen. But, you know, I do think for us to come back with sports, that's why, say what you want, I didn't love the concept at all of Dana White trying to have his own island or trying to keep it just reeked of insane capitalistic greed over the safety of but what they're doing seemed like it was relatively safe. They had every fighter for the UFC 249 card. For those who don't know, they were in, I think it was Jacksonville, Florida. Everybody was tested. There was a fighter and two corner men. Well, that fighter was eliminated from the card, Jacare Souza. You had every fighter was tested. So, and then Joe Rogan got into the ring and was interviewing him. And people were, ESPN did a whole little mini quick article that said, Joe Rogan's in the ring talking to people. Joe Rogan even said, what's the problem? All of us have been tested. We know none of us have this. We don't need to freak out with the masks and all that, was his comment. Then he went in there and was interviewing guys as normal. But having that available, I think, does give some confidence to other sports franchises. Look, somebody did it and they were successful. Korean baseball coming out. That's a big deal. We joke and we have our own teams. And I'm not joking now because the KT Wiz sucks ass. And that's my team. And I've put $10 in and it's going to be money gone after five games. I already know they're terrible. But the Korean Baseball League, the UFC, when Bundesliga rolls out, if Major League Baseball decides to make it back, that every single one is a domino of confidence. What's it going to be interesting? Because I think everyone starts to come back. Is if somebody has an outbreak, do they have the wherewithal or do they have the game plan in place to withstand and continue going? That's what's going to be interesting to me.
Did you see what Deshaun Watson just tweeted?
Was it something by Meek Mill? Was it lyrics that vaguely pointed out that Bill O'Brien is making him upset?
It is. It seems like there's no chance that he's going to be back. It says he retweeted Michael Jordan on people who criticize his tactics. That's you because you never won anything. So as I read that, just meaning Deshaun just doesn't want to be here.
What?
Yeah.
Or he just is back in Mike.
Mm-hmm. Well, or, yeah. Okay. What do the Texans want? Yeah. Nothing. Okay. So you won nothing. So therefore, what? And speaking of this.
Starts with hard work, ends with champagne. He put that out there, too.
Well,
Michael Jordan, why aren't you mentioning that?
Did you see that one of the fighters said the referee for the bout was, he smelled alcohol and cigarettes on his breath. He wanted a new ref.
Wow.
In the two, yeah.
I bet it's the guy with the neck tattoos. I always see that guy. It's the same tattoo. It wasn't Herb Dean. Herb Dean would never be that guy.
I don't know who was. It was
Dominic Cruz accused referee Keith Peterson of smelling like alcohol and cigarettes after a controversial second-round stoppage in his title fight loss.
Dominic Cruz is so salty.
So he was like, I lost. Hey, man, you smell like cigarettes. You stopped the fight. You smell like cigarettes and alcohol.
Dude, it's pandemic. There's no rules. Did somebody not get to him and tell him, you can drink whenever you want. You can buy alcohol. You don't have to. There's no age group. It's just they will deliver alcohol to your house.
Before the UFC fight, if you're the referee.
I was right. It is that guy. It's the guy with the big neck tattoos is exactly who I thought it was. It's that guy. He's on a lot of these fights. But it's pandemic. There's no, first of all, they're in Florida and a pandemic. You want to talk about no rules. There is no rules with a pandemic and you're in Florida. Cigarettes, alcohol, you can smoke in a, you can smoke in a restaurant. Restaurants are all open, full capacity. You get alcohol delivered to your house. You can day drink whenever you want. It's not a problem. No rules.
If that's pandemic, no pandemic in Florida.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the same. Yeah. Florida's like always under pandemic rules.
Right.
Only with none of the lock-in stuff. Even when we had oh my gosh, COVID is spreading in the United States. Like Florida said, I don't care. Spring break's too important.
Oh, leave the beaches open.
Somebody tweeted out, somebody tell Mike that the COVID said it was better than him.
And that's when I knew that I had to whip COVID's ass.
Jerry Krause loved COVID. He loved COVID-19.
That's what you got to say. Jerry was big into the early versions of Coronavirus 3. Jerry loved COVID 2. Like, once that's I found funny. Out that he loved, Jerry Krause loved COVID.
That's funny. All right, 1017.
I have
ESPN
to go now.
97.5.
I got hit by an uninsured driver, so now I got to go to a collision place and get an estimate. That's a real story. God. I'm not telling any more of it.
What? An uninsured.
You should do the impression of the driver that you were doing.
Nope.
Yeah, do. I want to hear what the driver sounded like, Lance.
Do you know the word no?
Every time Lance asks
a question. Every time I ask a question,
no.
Do you have this? No. Do you have that? No. Okay. Do you have real plates? No.
No.
You have paper plates? Yeah.
Ow.
This isn't a great thing. Yikes. The police come within the first hour and 15 minutes. No. No police came at all. Well, I guess that's not a thing anymore.
Yes.
Police don't come to
I don't think they care.
Issue citations anymore.
No.
No.
Because that wasn't a thing. Waited
no,
twice.
Guess what? Guess what? No. All right. We're taking a break. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Dell, ESPN ranked the quarterbacks in this year's class and next year's class. They got Trevor Lawrence number one and Joe Burrow number two. I think that's logical. No?
As far as NFL prospects?
As far as, okay, how would they be drafted?
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence is the prototype.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence would be drafted number one. Joe Burrow would be number two. They got Justin Fields number three, two of four. They got Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. This dude is making a run here. Did you watch him at all last year?
I saw a bit of him in the playoffs. He's got the size, 6'3", 220 or so. He is – I'm not surprised, and they always – they can feel comfort by going there because they know Carson Wentz came out of there too, so that whole small school thing probably isn't the same type of obstacle that it might have been in the past. I could see him being the third quarterback taken next year. Now – so they have him in front of Herbert, I guess, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think I would rather have him. I saw him play. He had I watched him live. I went to North Dakota State to watch him. And he had 28 touchdowns, zero interceptions. Now, you absolutely have to factor in, but we've seen guys from smaller schools, I mean, that can play. If you're 28-0, you're doing some good things.
Well, he wound up 42-0, and he's a dual threat guy. Can move a little bit too, so he's not a statue in the pocket. I could see why people might love him. And he played. I know North Dakota State in the past has been a under center, so you could call them a quote unquote NFL offense. I'm not sure what they did with him. You saw him more. What type of offense were they running when he was there?
Yeah. But what kind of offense?
Yeah,
were
when you the game you saw, were they mostly spread shotgun or were they more pro stuff?
They were. I think that they were more. I think they were more spread stuff.
Okay, well, it's not the same type of hindrance that it has been in the past.
No.
I mean
Joe's ahead of, and look at what they ran.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. I think that's a guy that people are going to love once they find out about him. the whole that gaudy number 42-0 is going to be something that sticks out from his from I think his first full year starting.
Right, that's combined.
Oh, you mean right. Over the last two seasons?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just looking at highlights of him right now.
Last year was 28-0 combined. I guess
he's 42-0. Okay, I'm just looking at highlights of him right now. He's kind of thinner dude as far as waist down. So, and you might imagine he'll continue to develop, but he's got a good frame. So, there won't be the same type of questions about him as far as size that maybe some of the other maybe like a, obviously not a Baker or a Kyler had. So that won't be something they can knock him on. So. Him in front of Herbert, well, my feelings about Herbert are plain, so I would definitely take him in front of him. So he's 5 and then Herbert 6.
Yeah, then they got Herbert, then they got a Jalen, and they got Brock Purdy. I like Brock Purdy.
I do. I like him too. Watch him quite a bit. If you don't, he's Iowa State quarterback. I don't want to say NFL arm, but he's not the biggest dude. I don't know how physically gifted he is throwing the football. He's listed at about 6'1", so he doesn't have great size. I would wonder when people just watch him throw, I was never impressed by what he – as far as the physical attributes, but he would make plays, stay alive, and just get the ball to guys. He'll be interesting only because you have the top two clearly in Fields and Lawrence, and then you have, as you mentioned, Trey Lance as well. I don't think he's a first-round pick, though.
No, I don't. He probably won't be either. They had Jake Fromm 8 and Jordan Love 9. That's a little telling. Brock Purdy 10 on where you would rank Jordan Love in these two classes, and yet the Packers went for him in the first. I mean, that's a little surprising that they would. I don't know. We'll see if they reached or not, and we'll see about his development as well. Because I know Aaron Rodgers ain't helping him out. Well, he ain't helping that dude not one bit.
We got the PR right after the draft that Aaron Rodgers has reached out, but we'll see what happens once they're in season and in camp. Oh. How much Aaron Rodgers will do to help him?
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, Rook. Look, that was cover 2. Don't worry. Yeah, just Aaron. Yeah, you should throw.
It was
Aaron.
It was a zero blitz, Aaron. Why he's calling cover 2? No, no, it's the NFL version of cover 2. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I'm not your brother, Jordan. I'm Jordan Love.
Yeah, you can. You, I know you have issues with the name Jordan, but I'm not that guy.
Right?
I'm fine. Yeah.
I was named after Mike, not your brother.
The only person who's going to be named after Jordan Rodgers is a kid. There's no one's naming anyone after Jordan Rodgers. Like his own kid would have to be named Jordan. That's the only one. That's the only time it's ever going to happen.
JJ Jordan Jr. Just watch for Trey Lance, everybody. This year he's going to be an interesting quarterback. You won't see much of North Dakota State, but I wonder if Carson Wentz is helping or hurting that cause.
Well, you'll get to see him. Well, you'll get to see him early. They'll be hosting Oregon. That'll be a game. Now there won't be any fans in attendance, most likely, because the Oregon, I think, it was either the governor of Oregon came out and said any sporting events in the foreseeable future won't have fans, which sucks for Oregon because they host Ohio State the next week.
Oh wow!
So they have,
and that's as tough a place to play as there is.
Yeah, and it's probably maybe the biggest game as far as hosting a game in their history. North Dakota State's a good opponent, and that's a challenge. Then you have Ohio State, and neither of those games will probably be in front of fans, so it's going to suck for them.
Yeah, I wonder why this other story had them as a dark horse, a team to watch that could make some noise when they're starting with those two teams
and make it,
with a new quarterback.
Legit could be 0-2. Because North Dakota State ain't afraid. They're a giant slayer, too. So then you got Ohio State coming in with national title hopes. That's a legit possible 0-2 start.
And you got them coming in with no fans in the stands.
So you don't even have that advantage.
It is a huge difference playing at Autzen in front of nobody and playing in front of a full house.
Yeah.
That's one of the best home field advantages in football.
Certainly. It's a place that, considering what that program is now, it's probably, if you would think about it, that program would probably be a 60,000-seat stadium, but they're still, I think, in that 40s range or so. It's compact. The fans are up all up on you. It's a great place to play if you're the home team, and they're not going to be able to take advantage of it. It looks like if the governor is to be believed.
No. Well, we'll see. He might change his mind. They may make him change his mind there with Ohio State coming to town.
Yeah,
everybody's fine.
Hey, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look at attendance. Attendance, they have 50. They're at 54,000 standing room, 60,000. So they're a little bigger than I thought as far as how many people they can get in there. And I'm not sure the governor of Oregon is a man, by the way. At least from the article, I thought, Kate Brown. That's not a man's name. She came out and said that over the weekend.
Ooh,
or something.
I wouldn't. I don't know.
I'm looking at her. Not a
Kate
man.
Kate could be a guy. You're name shaming now.
No, I'm looking at her. She's not a man.
You're name shaming.
I'm not.
I'm not going to assume anyone's gender by their name.
I'm looking at her. Catherine Kate Brown. I said that. She's a woman.
I've seen a lot of guys named Catherine these days.
Any of your friends named Catherine?
Not any of my friends named Catherine. No. My sister's named Catherine.
What was the last guy you met named Kate or Catherine?
Hey, guys. Oh, the Katie Rocket. Thanks. Good night.
That's not
10:30 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Welcome back. Ooh, looks like TCU picked up Zach Evans, Dell.
I saw that. He's a five-star recruit. The only reason I care is because he's screwed over Florida, which I'm thrilled with. He is a kid who had a long and complicated recruitment, as you can tell by...
He's had a lot of complications.
Yeah, you can tell by deciding to pick a school on May 11th when signing day was early February. It's been a long one, and Florida thought they had him. Apparently Auburn may have tried to get in the mix late, but it'll be Zachary Evans to TCU, the highest-rated recruit in TCU history, signing on.
He had his issues at North Shore. There should be smooth sailing. No problems ahead with this kid. Zero. Congratulations, TCU.
Well, certainly headline news. And it's funny when you just type his name in if you go on Twitter and you start finding all the latest results. And it's all about how it's the biggest recruit in TCU history, five-star, all that type of stuff. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't help those recruit nicks to talk about the issues because those guys never touch on. Well, Zach Evans did this or he did that in his time in high school. It's all about great player, great for TCU. None of that stuff gets talked about just because it's not good for their business. You just talk about the recruits as a player, and that's pretty much all they do. When anyone who knows anything about that recruitment is like issues.
Will there be any problems, or will you just hear about Zach Evans just running the football at TCU?
I don't know the kid personally, but usually the old saying is these kids that have these type of, even if you exclude some of the maybe the off the field stuff, just simply the length of time it took to commit to TCU. Most people are like, usually these things don't work out.
Yeah.
Usually things like this, not that they go poorly or maybe just a kid washes out. Hopefully not for Zachary Evans because his dream is to play college football and possibly the NFL. He certainly has the talent for it. But generally these things are like, yeah, okay, we saw that coming.
Well, when you had to send him home from the championship game, that's a clear indicator that there's problems. And it wasn't only that one. The Eagles have interest in Carlos Hyde. Every time I see Carlos Hyde, I just – When the Texans are giving $12 million to David Johnson and Carlos Hyde had to go because he was going to be a $5 million player. It makes thing after thing after thing that you say, what? It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. A guy who was really good last year versus a guy who wasn't really good last year, a guy who hasn't been really good since 2016, and you're going to give him $12 million. What? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at all.
I'm trying to figure out how that negotiation went with Carlos Hyde, because it's clear if Carlos Hyde was asking for $5 million per year, that on the open market he's not worth that much. So how do you know how high the Texans were willing to go?
Well, I know I know they went $12 million for a guy that nobody thought is worth $12
million. So how exorbitant could the ask have been if they were willing to bring on David Johnson for that type of money? Like, what could Carlos Hyde have been asking that they said no to? Well, the other thing is, was he an Easterby O'Brien type of player?
Well, but David Johnson is really the type of player who he's the type of player that hasn't played in 4 years. Bill O'Brien's so used to JJ and Will Fuller, he's like, we got to get more of those guys that don't play. And you got to get more Kikis out here. We got to get more
Brandon
David.
Cooks. Hey, you're a guy with injury concerns? Come on in.
Come on. We got 5 concussions? Come on. No, it makes a lot of sense. It's perfect logic.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Carlos Hyde signs for. Will David Johnson be on the roster for 4 times as much? 6 times as much? How much will Carlos Hyde sign for? Because he's at the end of free agency pretty much. He's a guy who's trying to latch on. No one's going to give him 5. Is he a guy who's going to get 3 per year for a year?
3.5 probably in that neighborhood.
And the Texans are paying David Johnson over the course of a year 13 or so?
13. 12 this year, and then he's got a signing bonus that he'll get as well. It's just unbelievable, the incompetence. It's just... I mean, it's second to none. I just see Carlos, and I'm, you know, after you had Lamar Miller, and you're like, yeah, you know, and then you bring in Carlos Hyde, and it's wow, dude, really it was different. I mean, you were effective running the ball. Another year in the system, you got the Carlos Duke, the Duke Carlos backfield.
I mean, doesn't have the same, doesn't roll off the tongue the other. Like
no,
the, other
the
one
David
does.
Duke backfield, yeah. It's not even close. I mean, so that it is, that it's the, it just is amazing to me, the level of incompetence. Well, maybe this is the deal. Maybe they wouldn't have taken DeAndre Hopkins unless you took David Johnson.
Then the Cardinals are stupid.
Well, or the Cardinals really, really, really worked.
That's what they did. But if Bill O'Brien really wanted to get rid of DeAndre, as it appears to be, the Cardinals would have gladly given you a second round pick for DeAndre and been done with it, and they would have jettisoned David Johnson. But then you gave them the opportunity to get rid of David Johnson without having to take any type of cap hit and not having to give a pick to get rid of him, like some thought was going to happen,
or not make them pay for some of that contract.
He got work, but they would have given up a second round pick for David Johnson. Well, they would probably, I mean, for DeAndre, they probably would have given up a first, but Bill O'Brien didn't ask for one.
Oh, no, we'll take a third. Will you give us a second? Yeah, you'll give us a second for DeAndre, and we have to take David. Yeah, we'll do that.
Can we get David Johnson too? Is what it was.
Oh my god!
Just think about it. The Cardinals had Isaiah Simmons fall to them. They probably would have traded this year's first round pick. It's probably too high, but maybe 2021. They assume they have a better record, so they got him and DeAndre, and all they had to do was give up a second round pick and David Johnson to do it.
Oh my goodness. It is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I mean, just thinking about it, if Carlos Hyde goes and signs for $3 million, you just be like, really? You gave David Johnson over 4 times more for a guy who hasn't played well since 2016? Well, Carlos Hyde, actually made a difference for you last year? That is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I got in this wormhole of watching rookie highlights from last year, and Kyle Murray's highlights came up. And they did use David Johnson, well, at least he showed up quite a bit in the Kyler Murray passing highlights. They split him out wide, threw him the football. I don't know if that's what the plan is, but it ain't $13 million worth. The plan, I don't care what the plan is. It ain't worth 13. He is a good guy. He is a guy you can split out, and he could catch the football, but not at this price. And then what is Duke Johnson here for if you already have your pass-catching running back in David Johnson?
Right. I mean, which number one overall pick is going to have the best season? Or who's going to win more games, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, or Jared Goff?
I would are the Rams in for a precipitous fall because they won 9 games.
And they did what the Texans did, is spent way too much money on guys that you shouldn't have spent way too much money on.
True. I would still take the Rams because because I think how many wins did the Cardinals have? Was it 5 or 6 or something? I know there's a tie thrown 7th, in there.
Right? What did they pick? 7th?
8th, was it?
8th?
I'll look up their win total.
I'm pretty sure it was 7th and 8th was Derek.
Derek Brown to the Panthers?
Karen Panthers, yeah.
Maybe it was 7th. I think there's a larger leap than some people think from picking a top 10 to winning 9 games. I'm sticking with the Rams for now. But I think the Cardinals are second.
I'm going to go Cardinals. Cliff wins everywhere he goes.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
1043 ESPN 97.5. News of the weird. So don't you go anywhere because it's weird. Coming up next right here. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Our final segment here, News of the Weird, coming your way here. Pete Davidson, the actor, apparently a bunch of people are bringing his mom quarantine weed. And he has asked them to please stop. I guess she was put it out. I need some weed, and so people are bringing his mom. He's ensconced in his mother's Staten Island basement. But people are coming over to his mom's house and bringing him weed.
So why does he want it to stop?
I don't know. It seems like it would be.
Is it just too much weed?
Buy it.
At this point,
Pete can buy his own weed, I guess. And maybe he got some ragweed.
And honestly, I don't know what the laws are in New York, but I imagine maybe law enforcement's like, hey, maybe you should stop having people deliver you weed before we have to do something about this.
Yeah.
Stop, please, because look, we don't really want to get involved in this, but if random people keep dropping by your mom's house bringing drugs, we might have to do something about it.
If you're a big star like Pete Davidson, do you want to spend your quarantine in your parents' basement? I guess if you're, I mean, mom will cook and all that, so you don't have to ever worry about that stuff.
It seems right? Like an odd thing. I mean, big star guy who was with Kate Beckinsale for a little bit.
Yeah.
I imagine there are women.
Ariana Grande.
I imagine people would like, or women would enjoy their time with you. I think it plays a little differently if the time would be spent in your mom's basement as opposed to your New York apartment. I feel like it's a weird flex to be spending time in your mom's basement during the pandemic. Yeah, you're not taking advantage of things is all I'm saying.
I don't know. Mom's cooking. Moms can cook.
That's fine. But are you bringing the Ford model over? Who is she going to want to drop by in mom's basement?
Mom's makes enough food for everybody.
That's not what I'm talking about, John. He could find food in other places.
You can still do stuff. Mom, stay upstairs. Ma, stay upstairs.
It's not a question of what his mom will do. It's a question of whether the woman that he might want to be with is like, yeah, don't you have a New York apartment we can go to instead of your mom sat down in the basement? And apparently the reason he wants people to stop dropping off weed is because it'll mess with his sobriety.
Oh,
and he's had problems in the past, I guess.
Probably had a problem getting weed.
No, he said,
got
"Hey,
no problem now. Now he's got no problems. Everybody's bringing it to him, and for free. It's awesome."
Here's this quote: "Me and Judd released this video to kind of try and get it out there that the movie is coming out, and I mentioned that I wasn't doing drugs, that I was trying not to. And then, literally 3 hours later, a lady rang my doorbell with a full bag of weed and gave it to my mom and said, 'I heard your son needs this.'"
Thank you. Okay, thanks. And some cookies, too, here.
Some edibles?
Oh, thanks. A bag of weed and some cookies. Thank you. Thanks for coming over. Apparently, Iran is calling for a prisoner swap with the U.S. because Iran feels our U.S. jails are just not healthy. Wait a minute. Iran feels that our jails aren't healthy.
We're swamped with coronavirus.
I've never been in an Iranian prison, but I don't know that if I was Iran, I'd be criticizing anybody else's.
It's free run on criticizing the U.S. right now. I mean,
I guess.
And by the way, Iran, however you want to pronounce it, they released 85,000 prisoners from jail in March because of coronavirus.
Great. You know where I want to go then? Iran, because... Listen, because you're not worried about, you know, people in jail because they're all out in the street.
Well,
what a great idea.
I guess the question would be, how many of those people were lawfully arrested? It's Iran. So there's a real shot that some of these people didn't do anything wrong outside of, you know, spoke out against the government or something, and then they had to go to jail.
Well, there's that chance. There's also the chance that they're really not really nice people.
Yeah, I'm going to take my chances and say the Iranian people arrested, good guys.
Are you?
Yes. Just like in this country, I don't know, multiple prisons around the country decided we're just going to release 85,000 people because of the spread of corona, all those people they release, good people.
Just like here. Yeah, all the prisoners they're releasing, really good people.
I would expect our justice system and our corrections system to pick and choose the right people to release. And I imagine they will all be good people, John.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, you can count on our prison people. Yep, I agree. I agree 100%.
I'm glad that we're on the same page.
Did you see this COVID-19 robot dog patrol?
I've seen it, and it's scary. They're just...
It is horrifying.
They're just setting up for robots to kill us and be like, look, I asked you nicely to go back into your home, and when you didn't do that, I had to murk you. We're just setting up to a point where we're just going to allow robots to kill people if we don't follow orders. Step by step, we just keep closer and closer to robot overlords. That's all. And just like in the movies, we brought it upon ourselves. We're going to do it again.
So what is the dog if you're too close to someone else? What if you're walking with your wife or something and the dog comes up and he just kicks you in the nuts or something?
Well, I don't know if nut kicking is the dog's
motive. Well, you know, what's the dog going to do? Or just shoot you? Is that what it does?
I think
it just opens fire?
We're going to get to that point, but I think the dog just approaches you, and because it's a robot dog and it's a relatively big robot dog, you're just going to get freaked out.
So this is in Singapore, and surprisingly, the video, everyone is taking a picture of this robot dog. I don't know why that's
surprising. And it was the dog was made here by Boston Dynamics, and
the ones that are kill everybody.
Yeah, we've seen their videos in the past, and the dog has a camera and it can monitor how it has a loudspeaker too. I just think it tells you to stay away from people at this point. The first model does.
Yeah.
And then when they deem it ineffective, then they'll give the model a gun.
You want to talk about lazy? There's a guy that's on a computer. And he's monitoring the dog's camera. So he's sitting at a laptop while the dog is walking around the park. How about you just walk around the park? Wouldn't that, if we're going to have the dog doing it, How about you're just sitting on your ass?
Let me ask you
getting
something.
Fat.
Let me ask you something, John. I give you you're on a bike ride in a park, and let's say a dog that's 4 feet in length approaches you and says, "Remember to follow social distancing rules," or some random guy comes up and says it to you. Which one are you more freaked out by?
Oh, the dog.
Yeah, that's why you use the dog because people.
But you know what? Everybody's crowding around the dog because they want to see a robot dog. They're taking pictures of it. Now everybody's getting close.
Don't worry about it. It'll change. It'll change because that dog will stand up on his hind legs and then be the size of a human being. And then people are like, oh, you're serious about that? Watch. We're just – I told you, step by step, until we bow down to our robot overlords. It's going to happen.
Unable to get liquor, 3 Ghaziabad men consume sanitizer and die. Do you think that you would ever have to have liquor so badly that you would drink sanitizer?
I'm supposed to be asking you that. I'm asking you that question, not me. I clearly don't need liquor. The question is do you need it that badly?
Is it in a Coors Light sanitizer can?
If I told you Coors Light was making sanitizer and it could or could not kill you, it just happenstance. Depending on your genetics, would you take the chance if you were out of alcohol?
Ooh, I take the chance. Yeah. I think I take the shot.
Yeah, it's not a guarantee you'll die. It just depends on your biology.
Coors Light hand sanitizer bottle. I'll take my chances. 10:55 ESPN 97.5. We starting the Joel and Charlie show today?
Well, it's called the Press Box. That's the title. And it does begin. And speaking of social distancing, we need a dog for the studio because they're both in the studio.
They're both in studio.
Yeah, we need a social distancing dog. Joel just gave me the
coughing
finger. That's not polite.
On each other too. They're going to cough back and forth on each other.
Well, Charlie has hand sanitizer there. But, yeah, they're back in studio for the first show. Nick is here, too, so I guess he's going to produce. Going home. I don't know. I really don't know.
Look at you.
I really don't know.
You get your four-hour day back.
It is nice, isn't it, John, to stop working at 11 a.m.?
Yeah. All right. The premiere of the Press Box next right here on ESPN 97.5. Have a great day, everybody.
ESPN 97.5.